I welcome all of you to this session on how to write a nonfiction book proposal. And you're a hearty group. You're here right before noon, and the competition is steep with Michael talking about textbook writing, I know. So, and actually, that was the way I got involved with TAA. He did a session at AERA, my conference, my big education conference, and I became a member of TAA, and I said, you know, that's a group that I want to belong to, because what you are doing now, here, is the most important thing in your life as a writer and as a thinker, because you have now adopted the perspective that in order to be a writer, you need to learn about writing and about yourself as a writer. So it's not merely a matter of getting better at writing text, which is what the image comes from, the writing centers on campus. All you have to do is fix the text, and you will get better. What you are doing is beginning to look at the context in which you write, the psychological context, the social context, the physical context, and you are beginning to get a handle on that and make adjustments to improve your context so that you can do and say what you have to say. And Dominique is nodding over there, and I, all through her session, this last session on creativity, I was really taken with all the ideas that she had, because a lot of it is not new under the sun, but it's all sort of packaged a little differently, and you, as a writer, are going to choose those things that you think will work for you. Because each one of you is important. Each one of you has a voice, and a unique voice. I work with faculty in a program at Portland State called Jumpstart Academic Writing. I'm the faculty in residence for academic writing at my university in Oregon. We have a very healthy and strong writing program, and I'm really happy to say that and proud that it is as it is. And it's also because a lot of people are hungry. You know, in this job of being at working at universities, we have to teach, we have to write, and we're supposed to do research. So which of those three did we actually get training to do before we became professors? Maybe research, but certainly not teaching, and not even research, and certainly not writing. We had no, and so if you feel anxiety, or if you feel, you know, like, well, I'm supposed to know how to do this, and you close your office door and say, yes, just write. Whoops. You can't, and it gets scary. That's normal. And what we are doing here is we're saying that we're going to do this together because we're going to support each other, like the Power Program at Texas A&M. A lot of that program is about supporting each other and saying that we value the writer within you and that you have a unique voice. And as far as I'm concerned, there is about 20% of the faculty write 40% of the journal articles. Now, who do you think those people are? Those people are probably working at research ones. Those people are probably, pardon me, the white males who happen to have a wife at home. Those people are not me. Those people do not have the support that, I mean, those people have the support and I don't. So I have to outfox them. I have to figure out how to make this happen for me. And that's basically what I've done with with my work. And that's why I do my work, is I've tried to figure out ways, crawl up the wall all by myself. I'm at an urban comprehensive university. I'm expected to teach 9 credits a term, 3 terms a year. I'm bought out now a bit because I'm the director of the doctoral program and things like that, but I have a heavy teaching load. So that's what I say to faculty is, let's get smart here. Let's get really smart, work together, and figure out all we can from what's around us. And because I want to hear your voices, I want to hear from all of you. I want to hear from the people who are first generation. I want to hear from the people of color. I want to hear from the non-native speakers of English. I want to hear from the people that have not had privilege in learning how to be writers. And so that's why I do this work, and that's why I cheer you on as we go. And that's why the work of Dominique and other people is so valuable, because it gives you it cheers you on and says, yes, you have a voice and you can write, and you are a writer, besides your mind trying to outfox you. So let's go forward. We're going to talk about writing a nonfiction book proposal. In the last session, Dominique was talking about spaces to write, and a few years ago, I decided that my shed in my back of my house was falling down, so I decided to build a little house, and that's it. And so that's where I write. And I couldn't figure out what I was going to do in it because I like to do stained glass. I have a lot of other things. It's all single-pane windows. It's totally inappropriate, economic, you know, but it has a heater. And I just decided I'm going to build a little house, and it's going to be like going on vacation when I go out to my little house. And my phone stays inside, and that's where I write. So it's I feel very privileged to have it, but I created a space. It's 8 by 12, and it has French doors, and cat comes in, and I don't know, it's a nice space. The rest of my slides are not nearly as interesting, believe me, because what I know is the presentation is not in the slide. The presentation is me. So the rest are all black and white, but this morning I thought, well, you were talking about spaces, and I just love my little house. So, yeah, thank you. So here we go. Writing a nonfiction book proposal, more than meets the eye. I'm a full professor at Portland State. I've been there 20 years. I have written 4 books. I'm working on my 5th book, which you'll hear about. I have 30 journal articles or more. I've lost count. Many conference presentations. And I am a student of writing. I have become a student of writing. I suggest faculty reframe their mind and say, you're just going to have to learn about writing. That's all. And there's plenty of good books out there. And so just have a section on your bookshelf that's about writing. Pat Goodson wrote a great book on 50 strategies. What's it called, Pat?
Becoming an Academic Author, 50 Exercises for Powerful Paper.
Something like that. It's a Josie Bass or Sage. It's a Sage book. It's a very good book. It has a lot of little, nice little short strategies. She uses timing a lot, and actually I'm going to do one of your activities today, and which I use with my doc students, which I really like. And so learn about, grab yourself some books, and I think that's a very good book. I've enjoyed using it as well. Let's see what else about me. Let's see. I like to ride a bicycle, and so I've done Cycle Oregon, which is 300 miles in 7 days, so I'm going to do it again this year. So I like exercise. I like to garden, which you probably saw. That's my garden. That's the way I take breaks. I set my timer, I write 25 minutes, and I go out and weed. Okay, so our objective is to prepare to write a book proposal, to learn the details in writing a book proposal, and to jump in and practice some key elements in writing that book proposal. I don't believe in, just like Dominique and others, I don't believe in talking at you. I'm going to make you do some work, okay? So I have divided, and you'll see, which handout did you guys get? Did you get the one? Yeah, I have 3 handouts. That one shows you that I have divided the world of writing a book proposal into 2 pieces. The first piece is to is focusing on the external elements that you need to know about, and the second piece is focusing on the internal elements that you need to focus up on. The external elements are the footsteps that you need to prepare yourself to write a book proposal. The internal part is where you reflect and you actually create the book proposal. So there's 2 pieces, and I'll go through those steps that are there. In fact, Libby, could you pass out this? This is the another version of what you have in front of you, the piece of paper you have in front of you. It's handwritten. It's from my journal. And as Pat said yesterday, I wrote a book on journal keeping, and if anybody has seen me, I write in my journal, cut and paste. My journal is my friend, you know. It really is my friend. Okay. So that's the more creative side. It's basically what... our school of education is moving 2 blocks, the whole school, and I went through all my old files last couple of weeks, And I realized at one point I was teaching a course called Advanced Ed Psych. My degree is in Ed Psych. And I realized that before I taught each chapter, I had actually done a handwritten drawing of the key elements in the chapter. And then I had an overhead. Oh, you remember overheads? I had an overhead, all these overheads, and I said, you know, that's pretty cool. I like the handwriting. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do that more and not less. I'm going to write and draw things with my own hand and have fun with them. And, it's just sort of a scribbly, doodly way, but it's another form of what you have in front of you. And it's in my journal. I have a gridded journal. I don't use lines. I use grids. Because then I can write every which way. And it's sort of it divides the internal and the external focus. So which of these two versions do you prefer? The typed one or the handwritten one? How many people like the handwritten one? Great. Great. Yeah. And it's kind of fun and do that. Play, it's the playful part. It's the kind of where you generate. That's where I generate my ideas for my books. I generate, if I have a chapter I want to work on, I'll just do a bunch of post-its about all the pieces, and I'll put them in my journal, and then I'll move them around, and I'll try to think about how did this go, and then I start writing. You know, there's all that prep work ahead of time. Okay, so external focus, footsteps, I call it, prepare. You need to prepare to write a book proposal. You don't first write the proposal. I go to AERA, which is a huge conference of about 15,000 people. It has a huge exhibit hall with all the booksellers down there. And I spend at least a day and a half. I don't go to sessions. I go visit the books that are available. I get a feel for what's out there. I buy them. Sometimes I feel better about buying them because I want to be honest that I'm really not going to adopt it for my class. But I buy the books. When I was working on a book for Action Research, I now have a collection of Action Research books. Working a book on writing, I have a lot of books on writing. And I just buy the books. I get a feel for the field. And I walk around. I'm curious. And then the big thing is to know the acquisitions editor. Each publisher has someone called an acquisitions editor. There was some article, I think, in the TAA newsletter a couple of months ago or last year about getting to know the acquisitions editor. That person, their job for the booksellers, book publishers, is to buy books, to find authors. That's their job. And they have a salary, but what their job depends on is they're building relationships with authors. And knowing authors. So find out who the acquisitions editor is. By the way, if there's book authors in here you want to add on to what I have to say, please jump in with your experience. Working with acquisitions editors and so I start with the Action Research book, I started years ago. In fact, before they even Action Research was anything in 1998, because I was teaching teachers about it, I went around to all the booths and I said, would you like a book on, are you interested in a book on Action Research? And they said, well, what's Action Research? Honest. But now, of course, there's like 40 books on Action Research. And so it's a really big topic. But I was ahead of the curve on that one. But then I went to Turkey and I ended up writing a book on rubrics called Introduction to Rubrics. And that has done very well.
Daniel?
Yeah.
That is a good way to begin to find out who the acquisitions editors are, because they're likely to be there.
Right.
And if you engage in some conversations, you begin to get that information.
Exactly. And sometimes they're not there because they're meeting with authors, but you need to know who they are. I know the acquisitions editor for Corwin. I know the acquisitions editor for Pearson. I used to know the acquisition editors for Josie Bass. I know the acquisition editor for Stylus. I know them. I go up to them, and I say, and you guys are going to do this in a minute, I say to them, I'm thinking of writing a book about. They'll go, oh, an author. Oh, okay. So tell me about your book. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed. What was the name of the conference?
Oh, American Educational Research Association. American Educational, AERA. American Educational. So I'm thinking of writing a book about writing, academic writing. Then they'll start asking you some questions. They'll say, well, who's the audience? They want to know you. That's their, in fact, they depend on getting to know you. It's very important that they know their authors. So I would suggest right now, since you are in this room, that you pair up with someone. And right now, we're going to take about 5 minutes to do that. And I want you to turn to that person and pretend that the other person is an acquisitions editor and say to that person, I'm thinking of writing a book about something. Okay, so find a partner and make it up if you don't know. And I'll give you about 3 minutes to one and 3 minutes to the other, okay?
Hello from Happy Valley.
Oh.
I'm a school board member for North Clackamas School District. And
oh, you were?
In Cascade Heights.
Oh.
Are you in Portland Public, or, I mean...
Portland State University.
Yeah, Portland State. Do you live in Portland Public School District, or...
Yes, I do. Okay. Let's come back. One, two, three, four, five. Very good. What happened? What happened? Did you have a book in you, maybe? Yeah.
So in our...
Oh, here we go, Libby. Just speaker. Go ahead.
In our group, whenever we started talking, like someone would mention the book title, and then whoever they mentioned it to was like, oh, that's interesting. Why did you come up with that idea? Or would ask further questions. So I don't know if that's what a book acquisitioner would actually do, but I would guess that's what
they do.
Got you, like, or at least it got me thinking about other questions that they would ask that I would have to kind of think through before having an idea.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to practice. You know, sometimes I practice in my journal writing that as if I'm talking to the acquisitions editor. I'm thinking of writing a book about academic writing. Well, why would you write? Who would be interested in that book? You know, and I just kind of practice what the words are and how that goes. Okay, anyone else have a comment on that process? Yes, sir.
Well, I had a little conversation with this wonderful person, Katie Van Hist, who is a...
I'm an academic editor, manuscript editor, not acquisitions editor.
Uh-huh.
But we did talk about the business of forming acquaintanceships with an acquisitions editor. And Katie was really great in pointing out that...
Do you want to hold that up a little farther, closer
sure.
to your mouth? Yeah.
The conversation very quickly gets from... what your idea may be to their exercise in curating authors and future authors.
That's right.
And they start putting up some kind of interesting filter questions.
Right, right. They do. But you'll learn. And, you know, then they'll ask, you'll get their business card, please. And when you create a binder for your book, you will have one of those plastic, I mean, I'm not that much digital, but I'm somewhat. You know, I have a plastic folder, I buy one of those sheets in the front for business cards. Put it in your binder that you create for your book. Don't lose it. Or cut or paste it into your journal. That is a person that's very important, that acquisitions editor. And their job is to find authors. So, yeah. The filter questions? What I would imagine something like, What is your background? Where do you work? How much experience do you have with this? Why do you think this is important? What, you know, sort of marketing kinds of questions. Yeah.
With Julie, we had a very good conversation, and she was my acquisition manager who I think almost bought my idea. And she asked me very good questions, do you have your book outline and maybe some of the book chapters are already ready? And I would like to hear the answer from you, please. Why do they ask this question? Because somebody else, in fact, at one of the conferences asked me that.
Do not write the whole book.
Okay.
Do not. Write one or two chapters. Maybe one in the middle. The first chapter is usually the hardest to write, so you might write one in the middle, but do not, because they're going to want to fiddle with it because right. They know the field, and they're going to have some ideas. And if you're a new writer, sometimes I had a friend who's a new writer, and Josie Bass assigned her a developmental editor who would help her develop. She had the idea, but she wasn't that good of a writer, I guess. So they, it's a process.
Okay, but, yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. Another interesting thing that I just kind of caught myself on realizing, Julie told me, please submit your proposal. Use our online form and submit your proposal online. And to me, it seems like I tried to do that before, and I never received a response that way. And it seems to me like you send it in some way in the cyberspace.
Right, right. Well, it's just like...
And why building
you've
personal
seed,
relationship
you've
probably
seed better. The ground, build the relationship. They'll know it's coming. Pearson, I went on their site last night. I couldn't find anything about author guidelines. So I know that when I started sending my action research book to Pearson, I worked through the book representative who came to my school and is trying to sell me Pearson products. So work with the book representative, and then they'll get you through the channels to the acquisitions editor. Then you go to the conference, and you say, I'm going to conference. Is Pearson going to be there? Can I talk to the acquisitions editor? Remember, being a faculty member is entrepreneurial work. You are an entrepreneur. You are selling your ideas. That's your job, one of your jobs, to be successful. I never kind of understood that. You know, I always thought it was sort of this thing out there, you know, that good ideas survive. But really, you are selling who you are and what you care about and what's important. You're selling yourself, right? Experienced authors, right? You know, you have to be an entrepreneur about your work. And that's a little scary. Yes?
You have here, oh, she's next.
Either one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I know Claudia, and she was my acquisitions editor in the exercise. And the idea has been in my head for a while, but as soon as she asked me questions and I had to speak aloud, I started fumbling and mumbling and getting really nervous. So I think it helps to journal, but I think it helps to practice out loud, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good idea. Practice. Do you have? I mean, Pat was alluding to this yesterday. And I write about this in my book on writing, which is coming out in December. To have a practice, the noun, a writing practice, you have to practice the verb, right? To have a writing practice, a music practice, a running practice, a cycling practice, you have to practice the verb. And you have to figure out all the different ways that you can practice in order to have that thing. So it is good to practice. Very good. Yeah, good point. Yes, Robert.
You have down here Know the Field.
Yes.
The idea of getting books in that genre that you perhaps would be competing against, build a spreadsheet, have on the spreadsheet all the basics, page length and layout and so on, then have features that are in the book, no feature boxes, or whatever, all right, and define for that acquisitions editor where you're plugging in. Here's the hole in the market.
Here's the whole. Right, exactly. I do what I call a book structure analysis, a chart, which is what you just said. And I put in the title and the author because everybody calls me the queen of boxes. I wrote a book on rubrics, so I really like the analytical process and putting things where I can compare them. And so I put in the title and the author, the website, the link, the number of pages. I put up the cost. I type in the title, the table of contents. So it's kind of like what Dominique was saying, like writing the way this person thought through this book. How did they do it? List the features. Do they have sidebars? Do they have questions? Do they have photos? What are some of the features? Are there features you might want to use in your book? That might be good. Anything that's noteworthy across all those books? It's a book structure analysis, I call it. And then you compare all of those books. And when I submit my book proposal, I submit this chart. Because the editors are not going to do this. They want you to do this. They want you to think about where your book fits in. And you want to know where your book fits in. Because if you don't know where the hole is or how your book contributes, then they're not going to be interested in it. Okay? So this is always fun to do. I love doing this. It's very logical. It's counting. It's listing. It's comparing. It's looking. You come up with some exciting things. You go, wow, that's a great way to do that. You know? So look, be very analytical. On my little handwritten chart, I say on the internal side, no, you have to be analytical. You have to create this book chart, and you have to be very, use your analytical brain. That's one of the things that got you where you are, is your ability to analyze. Yes, sir, again. Doing time-wise.
Yes, this description of the book structure analysis seems quite useful and practical. At what juncture would you bring your book structure analysis to the attention of the acquisitions editor? Would you use this at an opening conversation? Or
no, not at the opening, when you submit your proposal. That's when I do it.
Thank you.
Because you've done the work, and also you want the recent books, and you want to look at the pattern. Does this book have 5 editions? You might go, well, why does it have 5 editions? Why would somebody want to do this? What's the difference between the editions? This is your analytical brain. This is you figuring out, outfoxing them. You know, you're going to be very smart about that. Okay? Yes, question.
You have a web link to the book?
Yes.
What would that be?
Wherever you found the book. Was it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble? Just so that within the book chart, how could somebody get to it easily? Because when you send in the book chart, it'll be electronic, and they may want to go there. My publisher used this chart to determine the cost of my writing book. He was very happy to have this chart because he's not going to do it. But you need to do it, really need to do it. Did you say something else? Okay. So the internal focus is more what are you going to do at your desk? The other is you're going to walk around, you're going to buy books, you're going to think about it. What are the author's guidelines, publisher's author guidelines? And what is your purpose, and what is the title of your book? Now, the first external focus may take you months or years to develop. On the typed sheet, I talk about teach the topic. If you can, teach the topic. I teach journal keeping. I have all my students do journals. I wrote a book on journal keeping. I use rubrics all the time. I wrote a book on rubrics. When I was going up for tenure, I did an edited volume called Tenure in the Sacred Grove, Issues and Strategies for Women and Minorities. I was going up for tenure. I write about what I do. And right now, I'm teaching academic writing, so I'm writing about academic writing. Because I'm in the middle of it. I'm swimming in the sea of my ideas. And I'm taking notes, I'm using my journal, I'm taking notes, I'm figuring out ideas, I'm swimming with my ideas all the time. Very important to do that. That's the couple of years before you submit the proposal. Figure out a way to put whatever you're doing into your teaching, whatever you want to write about. You can do that. You're creative teachers, right? My students always journal, and they go, I have one students that said, but Professor Stevens, I don't do journaling. I go, well, you don't do term papers either? It is a requirement in my class. But I will show you how it will be helpful, and it will decrease your stress, and how you will have a tool that you can take with you for your whole life. that will be a record of your experience, that will allow you to reflect and allow you to grow and mine your experience. Most of us are on fast forward, never rewind, rethink, review. And what a journal allows you to do is to do that, is to go back and say, what did I learn? What is useful here? I'm important. My experience is important. Okay, so what is your purpose and what is the title of your book? I don't know the time. What time is it? For some reason. 10:34. Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, so here's some author guidelines. I'm going to ask you to look at these. This is one of the things I did. I did my little analytical mind. I took my journal, and I went to the author guidelines and four publishers. And I put them in a little chart, because I like charts, and I compared them. I said, well, what's in this one? What's in this one? What's in this one? What's in this one? And last night, I just typed these from Corwin and from Wiley. Wiley was pretty wily, I will say. It was a little hard to find. And so tell me, what do you notice about these two? Wiley asked for the title and description. Why needed by the market? Why is this book needed? Which is, it's Robert, right? Robert, yeah, said, identify the market, profile the typical reader. Why is this topic important? Review of competitive works, the BSA, book structure analysis. Table of contents, now the table of contents. Before you even get to the table of contents, look what's on top of that. Partial manuscript, review of previous works by author. Okay? Corwin, part one, the project, brief overview and rationale. Part two, the market, the audience, the uses. Is there funding available, like NSF funding or science funding? Course adoptions, you might think, that might want to use this. Part two is the content, the format and the length, the approach, the style, the research base, the features. Be thinking about features. Are you going to have a quote at the beginning of the chapter? Are you going to have a concept map at the beginning of the chapter? Are you going to have questions at the end of the chapters? Are you going to have sidebars? Be creative. Have fun with it. Find things that you like in a book. Repeat them in your book. Things that appeal to you as a reader or appeal to your students. One summer I'd somehow forgotten to order my books for my action research class. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I have all these action research books. I'm going to have students just pick out the section that is on writing the focus statement. Pick out the section that's on writing the research. Pick out the section on all these different books because they're pretty much the same. Go to the table of contents. And then we're going to talk about the different ways these books present that information. Guess who that helped? Me and them, right? Me and them. So then I could say, oh, there's this really good feature that students like in the book. That's good. So, you know, you've got to, it's very helpful to get, and your students tell you, you know, they'll go, oh, Professor Stevens, this book just goes on and on and on and on, and I can't figure out what it's trying to say, and it, you know, so you can get a feel for what appeals to students, and you're doing a little market research right there, right? It was very helpful. Competition, book structure analysis, list of content, sample chapter, biography, alternative titles, and schedule of completion. What do you notice about those lists? What surprises you? Yes, go ahead.
For one, Pearson is just, you know, just you start with the publisher representative.
They don't even tell you that, though.
Yeah.
There's no author guidelines.
I couldn't
find any last night in Pearson.
And then with Wiley, I notice it's more holistic. You're actually providing the purpose for what your book is, where Corwin, it's literally more analytical, and it's just breaking it down into the pieces and components. It's not even asking, you know, the purpose of it.
But when I write a book proposal, when I write a conference presentation, when I write a letter of recommendation, I use those headings. I use their words in bold. So my Wiley proposal will say title and description in bold. And then And it will say exactly what they want. This is not creative writing. This is matching what they expect. And they're going to say, oh, she speaks our language. Good. It's so easy to find. I think she could write a book for us because she knows how to follow directions, which is good. Yeah. Oh, back there. Yes, sir.
Actually, I'm working with Pearson, and they do have a very extensive guideline. It's just they won't send it to you until they talk to you whether or not they're interested on it. So
Right. It's
like 4 pages long, and
Yeah. Then
you kind of fill the blanks. And in addition to that, you got to send them 3 chapters, your curriculum vitae, resume, and a very extensive market analysis.
Yes.
So,
and that's your job.
Yes.
By the
yes,
way.
That's for
No,
me.
Not your job. The author's job
yes,
to do as
yes,
best
yes,
they
that's
can.
What I'm saying. Yes.
They have a
yes.
market analysis.
Yeah.
They don't
so,
want to do that. And you want to know that, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it's very detailed, but they won't give you that information until
they
have a conversation with you of whether or not it's worth their effort and your effort.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, you have the speaker. Oh, right. Go ahead, Richard. It's Robert.
Robert. That I know the word market is kind of where it's what they mean, but the field, the discipline, the trajectory of the discipline, the issues in the discipline, my area would be physical geography, earth system science. At the time I wrote my proposal, there were textbooks that would have a floodplain and not have a house on one. It was descriptive.
Yes.
So that idea of placing your niche, your book, in the flow of that discipline, that's not on either list.
It's not,
and that
but.
Should be very, very important. The thing about outlining, if you're a first-time author, I wrote my initial outline in grad school, and then I taught it for 17 years before I signed the contract. The outline had fleshed up to 100-page length. So that kind of overrode the first-time author resistance for an acquisition editor to look at it. So that suggestion you made is really important to evolve that outline and have that mass of meat in the proposal.
Right, right. And develop it. You have the language. You understand where you are in the field. You understand what's out there. Yeah, very, very good. Good. Discipline, whatever your discipline is. Yeah, go ahead. Question.
I think he helped a little bit with my question because it's around market analysis. I think I really wanted to know maybe the differences between the market analysis and what you call the book structure analysis.
The book structure analysis is part of the market analysis because it tells you what the books are out there, but you need to put that in narrative form in your proposal and refer to your book structure analysis. Go ahead.
I just want to make a point that I think you're going to get to, but this proposal that you sent into the publisher needs to be done with care because this is the first real opportunity the publisher has to determine whether you have the capacity to produce what you're proposing, even in terms of the writing skills, because they're going
exactly.
to judge whether you can actually write a book that's going to be adopted.
Exactly, exactly. So it's not casual. That's why you take time, you let other people read it, no typos, perfect grammar, everything. Because they want to know that you pay attention to detail. Because writing a book, a lot of it is about detail and organization. Plus, it's a lot of fun. I like writing books, actually better than journal articles. So I think that whole creative process of conceiving a large project, I see some nods, you know, it's enticing to me. But it's was scary at first, really scary, yeah.
I've just written my first book proposal, and I'm in the process of submitting it. My editor told me that the basic premise of my book proposal was to write as cogently and succinctly and accurately as possible to someone who doesn't know about the project to explain it cogently and succinctly and accurately to somebody else who doesn't know about the project.
Good. Great. A non-informed person. But also, your proposal needs to be written with a lot of confidence that you know the field, you can do this. I can now say, I know how to write a book. I've written 4 books. I know how to get this job done. I'm a teacher. I've been doing this. Believe in me. I mean, I actually use some sentences like that. I go, okay, whew, just do it. And then they get a feeling that you have the confidence to do this and that you will complete the project. It's very important that you complete the project. So you're right. Good thoughts. Okay, so what is your purpose for this book? So I want you to take a pen in hand, and we're going to take about 5 minutes. This is an exercise from Pat's book, which I use with my 15 minutes, okay, good. I use for my doctoral students all the time. And you are going to write this sentence. Don't write, the purpose of my book is to, and then fill in, and then start to. Each time, get your brain through, the purpose of my book is to do what? The purpose of my book is, and write it in as many different ways as you can. The purpose of my book is to inform faculty about academic writing. Purpose of my book is to inspire faculty to write more and feel confident. The purpose of my book, that kind of thinking. What is the purpose of your book? Brainstorm, and I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to write as many different ways as you can. There's no right or wrong here. Write as many different ways, as at least 4 different ways, about the purpose of your book is. The most important sentence in your journal article and in your book is that one. Okay, just finish that one sentence. Now, one of the things that happens when we do this kind of writing is that we often don't go back and read it. So would you just take a minute and read your writing, what you wrote, and then put a star by one of the purposes that you feel is getting close to what you think your real purpose is. Libby? Okay. So could we have, tell me, this is a product, so tell me about the process of doing this. What happened for you as you did this? What did you learn about writing this? Okay.
This definitely opened up the floodgates as far as, like, getting into the flow state and really seeing that your purpose may go into different directions, so it's not always one single lane. You may have an off-ramp and another on-ramp to something else. So it's kind of like, you know, driving a freeway where, you know, you don't necessarily have the GPS on. You're just enjoying the ride.
Like if you go to Portland and you ride on the freeway, if you don't know where you're going, you end up on a bridge. Then you end up on the other side of the river. Yeah.
I'm working on an academic writing book also for doctoral students who I teach. And this project has been going on for about 3 years. And so as I'm writing this, I'm just noticing my resistance to it. And I'm noticing the critical voice of this really isn't needed. So I'm just noticing that the blocks that I've had about this project. And even though I have this booklet prepared and I use it in my classes, it's still not good enough to put out there. So that's what I noticed as I was writing.
Right. Very good.
Just
very
the lack good. Of clarity, really.
Yeah. And that helps. It really helps. And what's forest and what's trees? What's more important? Is it more important that faculty feel comfortable about writing, or is it important that they have a bunch of skills and tips? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that comes up when you start talking about purpose. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, right there. Okay, yes. New voice.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
I have a book on clinical work with kids in foster care. I teach in social work. And I've been thinking for the last day and a half about audiences. And so now I realized when I was doing that exercise that the purpose towards each audience is actually different. Like, I don't have a singular purpose, but if it's for foster parents or caseworkers or former foster kids or judges or... So that has me... It's interesting, but it's overwhelming as well.
Well, it could be sections in a book, or it could be three books. You don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the process. And actually, the exercise that Pat has in her book is you write the purpose statement for 10 minutes a day for 6 days. Set your timer. That's your writing for the day for 6 days. And at the end of those 6 days, you know your purpose. And my doctoral students love this. I mean, they'll go into their advisor and say, look at all the purposes of my dissertation. And then the advisors go, okay, so which one? But it is actually an excellent activity. I nod to Pat and her book for that because it's been really a part of my repertoire in working with faculty. I appreciate it very much. Yes, sir.
To me, it actually was the reverse of what this young lady over here said. My process is usually what you just described. I've got all sorts of purposes and all sorts of ideas, and then this process helped me really step back and have a defined but holistic purpose to
what you're
my
doing.
Book
right.
idea.
Yeah. It's going to take, and when you get it, you can put it in large font, you can put it up on the top of your computer, and remember, that's where you're going and what you want to do. Because otherwise, you know, we have very busy brains. They're always going over here and going over there and how nice this is. I have a very busy brain. So I have to use a timer sometimes just to write because my brain is just very busy. So, you know, so these kinds of activities sort of ground you, get you down right into the earth so you know where you're going. It's great. Okay. And so that we're going to talk about book titles now. And I just passed out which I took from a book. It's called Nonfiction Book Proposals Anybody Can Write. I'm going back here because I think I have a copy. No, it's in my backpack, wherever my backpack is. I'll get it out. Nonfiction Book Proposals Anybody Can Write. And she has a whole section there on slant. And what I gave to you with is her different ways to write titles. So this is a fun activity. It might be fun to do with a group of friends. Because guess what? First thing that sells a book? The title. The second thing that gets you to read a journal article is the abstract. How much time should you spend on those two things? Lots and lots of time. Because that's what's going to grab the person to read your book or buy your book. And it has to say what is going on. So these are, I'll give you some examples, book title examples. You'll notice Pat's book has 50 strategies for paced and powerful and productive writing. My book is going to be called Write More, Publish More, Stress Less, 5 Key Strategies for Academic Writing Success. That has promises. Look at promises as a slant. I promise that you will, hidden here, write more, publish more, stress less. The slant offers the moon and better. Eat more, weigh less, or cats that can change your life. She gives you some examples in this handout. Secrets, 3 secrets to making learning and teaching work. Action, research, action. Money. Making teaching pay off in learning, invest in action research. This is actually a title of one of my colleagues wrote a book on e-portfolios, and she used this list, and she decided to use leveraging. So leveraging the e-portfolio for integrative learning, that's a real book out there. Location and numbers, this is the title of my a presentation I just did at a conference. The Choppy Waters of Academic Writing for Doctoral Students, 5 strategies for a smoother journey. So you can see, and that's location. So this list is real. I only have 5 minutes left. So this list is very, very fun and helpful, and also a way to get a good title for your nonfiction book. Sometimes it's good to sit down with a glass of wine and a couple of friends and play around, because she has funny ones like sex. One of her ones in sex is for, she has a funny one, furry bedwarmers, the cat in your life. humor, I purr, therefore I am, never before collected observations in all things cats. Paw print Picasso's, your cat as artist. So she's, those are just examples that came from her book. Again, being a student of writing, get some books on writing. This is a very good book, I think, for nonfiction book proposals. Yeah.
Take care with this, but coin a word. My field is physical geography.
Right.
All the books are named physical geography.
Right. Right.
The 13 books that went out of print are named physical geography. So in grad school, came up with the word geosystems. The subtitle handles the rest, but it's a coined word. It doesn't exist, huh. And that's a catch.
That's a catch.
So
okay.
It's not written down here, but inventing.
Inventing words like, well, the journal keeping book is about journal keeping, and there's no book out like it. So, but it has this long title afterwards, and my publisher wanted that title because he says, well, those are all clicks on the internet. They're all, it doesn't use one of these. I didn't know about this. Yeah. Pat.
Yeah, but I would caution that the first thing that the publishers do is change your title.
Yeah.
And they are entitled to do that. So I had discussions with my editor about the title. That was not the title I wanted for my book.
Uh-huh.
And
but,
and it had, they said, no, this is it, and this is going to stand. And I had read before that you kind of, so I love the idea of coining a word, because
uh-huh.
I was going to try to do that with the writing book.
Uh-huh.
But they just
wouldn't let me do it.
So well, I didn't want to fight that battle too long.
When I submitted my book proposals, I gave them 12 titles. I did. I figured, I'm going to do a little bit of this work. I'll have a little control. Yeah. Yeah, make up some titles. Have fun with it. Really, it's just, we don't have time for you to write some titles, but these are the last minute tips I wanted to share with you. Make sure you submit to at least 3 publishers. This is not a journal article publication. This is a book. They are in competition. You don't submit to one. Keep a handwritten journal to collect notes and insights. I went to a presentation yesterday, and I went, ooh, this looks like a good idea for chapter 6. Okay, I put chapter 6 in here, you know? And so things that stimulate your thinking, put them in a journal, carry your journal with you, use that as a resource for yourself. Add a table of contents to your journal. I have a table of contents in my journals, and I put the date, the item, and the page number. My journal goes with me everywhere, but to all meetings and conferences and that. And then use your table of contents to highlight fresh ideas to use in the book, in your book. So, that, you know, because these ideas come quickly, and you think, wow, that's a good idea. You don't want to lose it. So write it down, put it in your journal, and key it. When stuck, dialogue with your book, which is some of what Dominique, you know, say, hello, book, how are you? Book goes, well, you haven't been working on me lately. And you go, well, I'm going to get there, but you need to, you know. I don't know what your book's like, but anyway, dialogue with your book, write it in your journal, and use it as a creative space. And the blending of the external footsteps and the internal reflection and creative activities will help you build a solid and, I bet, successful book proposal. And do tell me how these ideas work for you, if there was something that stuck. Okay? Thank you very much.